Macmillan Audio presents Ticking Clock, written by Ira Rosen, read by L.J. Ganser and Ira Rosen.
Hi, this is the author Ira Rosen. I decided to read the introduction and the first chapter so that the listener could get a sense of how I think, how I speak, and also how I mispronounce words, all, of course, in the quest for greatness. After my cameo, I will hand the book over to the capable hands of L.J. Ganser. But like the producer that I am, I'll read the last chapter. After all, I want the last word. I hope you enjoy listening to my stories as much as I enjoyed living them. To Max, Jake, Johanna, and my wife Iris, you light up my life. Introduction. When I began as a producer on 60 Minutes, there were no computers and no internet. The phones were rotary and the newspapers from around the country came 3 days late. Stories were often found or assigned based on what was in the New York Times. I and other producers who didn't want Times retread stories would play airport roulette. The way it's played is, I would head to the airport and go to the first plane ticket counter I found. I'd throw my credit card down and say, next flight out. Even if the plane was going to Detroit and the one after it was going to more fun cities like Los Angeles or Las Vegas, I'd go to Detroit. It was part of the karma of the chase. When I got to Detroit, I'd grab all the local newspapers to see if there was anything interesting going on. If there was, I'd make a call or two and visit the person who was involved. If there were no 60 Minutes worthy stories, I'd go back to the ticket counter and once again say, next plane out, and kept going, sometimes for days. We had an unlimited budget so I could travel and stay in any hotel I wanted. Usually by the time I got back to New York, I'd have a couple of really interesting ideas to pursue. Though I would play airport roulette when I was desperately looking for a story, the most frequent destination I traveled to was Washington, D.C. The shuttle flights were open seating, and I would always try to board late to have my choice of seatmates. I would pick out politicians, cabinet members, or sometimes businessmen with a cachet of interesting documents on their lap. After a 50-minute airplane ride, even the most closed-mouthed, discreet bureaucrat would open up and provide me with stories or tips to pursue. It was on one of those shuttle flights that my career almost ended. In 1982, I was working on my first major investigative story for 60 Minutes. It was an exposé of how the U.S. government illegally permitted the entry into America of thousands of Nazi war criminals who had committed atrocities in World War II in exchange for their intelligence help in fighting the Soviets. It was an extraordinary smuggling operation conducted by the CIA in defiance of presidential orders. I had carefully cultivated a source who gave me top-secret documents that laid out the details of the operation. I convinced a former member of the Justice Department's unit that prosecuted Nazis to become a whistleblower and to go on camera about the smuggling operations. And I located some of the Nazis. One was living a few miles from 60 Minutes offices in the Bronx, and another was working at Radio Free Europe. Proud of myself for making all the right moves, I was lost in daydreaming about all the compliments and awards I'd receive as I boarded the shuttle flight at LaGuardia Airport to meet correspondent Mike Wallace for an interview with the whistleblower John Loftus. I was less than 2 years into the job, still on probation, but I hoped the story would get me a permanent position. This was the story that I felt would show everyone at 60 Minutes that I belonged. On the flight, I worked on the interview questions and a script for the story. After the plane landed, I descended the ramp and felt the wonderful spring day sun. I relaxed for a moment until I saw the marble obelisk of the Washington Monument. Out of habit, I had flown to Washington as I had done countless times before. The problem was I was supposed to be in Boston. No one had checked my ticket at the New York airport, and I had tuned out all the announcements made on the plane. I was in Washington when Mike Wallace was on his way to Boston. Wallace was the show's top correspondent. He didn't have the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?